Hello and welcome back to an exciting installment of the Dual Screens podcast. I am your host, once again flying solo this week. It's kind of fun, I'm not gonna lie. I could get used to this, but I do miss Steven on these things, but hopefully he'll be back to join us next week. But until then, I am Andy, and joining me this week, it's a lot of dudes. So it reminds me of prom night in a sense, my old high school days. Joining me this week is, are actually, Henry Pullen, James Wood, and Douglas Finders, otherwise known as Bitloom Games, and creators of Fogs, a co-op puzzle-filled adventure game where you play as a pair of dogs linked by a stretchy belly. Gentlemen, welcome, as my dog yawns next to me, by the way.
Amazing.
How's it going?
Very great. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Of course. I mean, it's usually like a one guest on the show, but I'll take three guys at once. Why not? It's totally fine.
We're a package deal.
For those who are new to the show, like our new friends right now, this is the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. That is correct. So let's jump in, because there's a whole like bit about what the show is and what we do, but there's three dudes here. Let's just jump into it. So, gentlemen, off the bat, let's see here. I have some notes I wanna consult here. So,
you've
come a long way. You know, you guys started this group when you were still college students, when you formed Bitloom Games. You were the winning entry for the Dare Academy competition in 2017. And, you know, you gained the attention of a publisher in CodeSync because the game was just so incredible. It's a lot to unpack for me as an interviewer. So I think the first thing I would love to ask the three of you, and, you know, anyone can jump in with the right response, is how does it poop?
that is a very important question.
It is. It really is.
I mean, I think we all have different answers for that. I think
it's even better.
I would say that, you know, they've got to stretch somehow.
They do.
So that's where all that goes. Mm-hmm. That's my answer.
Is it just always in there? They just stretch to make the space, but. You know, it's gotta.
Then they sweat, and it's
sure.
That's the only way that they produce waste.
Because you make a point about eating, they have to eat at some point. So
it's a lot of energy.
It's just the biology. I'm fascinated because I feel like those Kirby drawings of like his anatomy under the pink fuzzballness of him.
Yeah.
Like, what would this thing look like? Under an x-ray is what I'm also wondering. Aside from
skeletons.
The pooping component.
Definitely. More evolved than most.
You guys thought you'd come onto a show and be like, what's your game about? How was it created? What's the gameplay like?
This is, we know this what is the next kind of show. Question is.
Yeah, this is the important show. This is the important question.
Yeah, get straight to the hard-hitting stuff.
Pooping and cat dog.
So... On a more serious note, I feel like I've been doing these interviews for a long time, been writing about games for an even longer time. I get tons of emails from publishers and developers, but I feel like when it comes to this game specifically, I've been getting more emails than any other game. I feel like it's a testament to CodeSync and their PR team. They're really crushing it, it seems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what does it feel like that this game is now finally out there after being in development for a bit of time, and it's been in the ether for a bit, now it's out there in people's hands? What's it like for you guys now that it's out there?
It's amazing. I mean, we were taking the game to events, and it was always so exciting to see people play, and obviously for the last year or so it's not been happening in person, so just having, after this long wait, the chance to see all these people play the game and get excited about the game and talk about the bits of the game that we've never seen anybody else play outside of the kind of development team. That's been amazing. Just, yeah, I'm lost for words because it's just such a great feeling to know that people are enjoying it, and it's done. It's like out in the world, which is what we always wanted.
Like I think the day before release, when reviews started going out, and just seeing like professional games journalists saying like a bunch of awesome, lovely stuff about our stupid game. It's just like, this isn't real. Is this just like a massive prank that's been set up? Like,
taking this shit seriously?
Yeah, it's just insane. Like, seeing that, having gone from like you say, like no one's really like we put out the demo and it's been to events, but no one's really seen like the whole thing together. So like suddenly having, we think it was even weird for us being like, wait, these people have finished the game. You're not allowed to finish the game.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, it's out, it's a thing. Because again, the emails, they keep coming in. I'm like, any sort of like Penny Arcade Expo or like game convention, I get like an email about Fox. I'm like, this game is still not a thing yet. And then I was like, oh shit, it dropped. And like, it's coming out next week. It's real. It's finally here. And I think it was worth the wait, because I played it several times at conventions in the past and I got a sense of it. But playing the actual final game, I feel pure joy is what this game encapsulates.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a little frustrating at times when you're playing with someone. That's part of the charm.
And that's their fault, not our fault.
Right.
Yeah.
I like to call that a funstration. I just made that up a second ago.
That's a good term.
That's also in my notes.
I know. Right.
So let's get into, before we get into the game itself, who are all of you? How did you all come together? And what is your story? What is Bitloom Games' origin story, in a sense?
I mean,
and what do you guys do for the team specifically?
I mean, I do programming, and I composed the music for the game as well. But then the three of us all together collaborated on the design of the game.
And I was the other programmer, so Henry and I did the kind of single player story together. We also worked with CodeSync on some of the other like multiplayer aspects, which they handled. And as Henry says, we shared the designs. So.
And I did the making it look better part. Modeling, animation, good for the all that stuff.
I would love to read your resume one day to see what it looks like. Yeah. I make shit.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know when I get one.
Just always one lie. Yeah. So where did the idea come from to make a game about two dogs that are joined together by a stretchy stomach? How does one create this sort of nightmare scenario of a creature?
I mean, yeah, it was something we always knew that we wanted to. I mean, like when we kind of came together, we were like, okay, let's make a game together. Let's like have a go at doing an indie studio. And we just sort of like shut ourselves in this like tiny little room that was just inexplicably hot. That was like, and we were like, okay, game idea, let's go. And then it just like throwing like loads of stuff at the wall, and eventually like Fogs came out of that. But even then, that was just the idea of like
the character alone.
Yeah, like we want to make something cooperative. What's like more cooperative than just tying the players together and forcing them to work together? So like that's where that like originally came from, really. But
just like something that had cooperation just so at its core that it was unavoidable, I think. Because we've played, obviously, like the three of us played a bunch of co-op games and love that kind of style of working together. And I think some co-op games do fall into the trap of like, it's basically like you're all playing a single player game, you just happen to be together. So it's like there's nothing, all that cooperation isn't like necessarily like forced in the same way.
Right, like right. Just... It's not like when you play, let's say, a beat 'em up game, it's you kind of mind the enemies yourselves, but you're just kind of playing
totally.
It at the same time. But this is more like a, like a Mario Kart Double Dash or like a Lovers on Dangerous Space Time kind of thing.
You have to actively
work together and communicate in order to be successful. Yeah. Otherwise,
if you want to make any progress,
people get killed. Yeah.
If you want to make any progress, you're doing it together.
was this always the concept, like a dog creature, or like how did it get to this point? Like when you guys were in that hot room, locked together, sweaty, alone.
think what was the first? There's debate about it because it was a blur for all of us, but I think the first kind of spark was dog golf, where you were, and this was just like on paper, you would be like a golfer trying to play golf, except the other half of you is a dog, and every time you hit the ball, the dog drags you along and chases the ball. And the idea was just to make like a broken physics golf game, and then within a few minutes, we realized that it just would not be enjoyable at all.
Didn't take long for us to realize there wasn't much to that beyond that joke.
Yeah,
that was it. So
we thought, well, the golf part's pretty boring, but the dog part, that sounds great. And then I know that something we always come back to is because we wanted the game to be like simple for people to learn and play, the dog is such a great creature for like gameplay because they use their mouth to pick things up. Mm-hmm. They are like renowned for being curious and just like running around all over the place. So to like have this dog character just fit so well with something we could give to like children or to adults and have anybody kind of understand this is what the character is. Even if it's weird, they still understand, like they know a dog picks things up.
I think for the pure like silliness was always like like most things that we did were like, is this silly enough to fit in the game? So I think, like you say, and getting people to embody a dog automatically kind of like, it's hard not to be silly. Well, if you press a button, you automatically bark. Like it just kind of instills that in players from the get-go, so they know, like, okay, I'm going to be silly while I'm playing this game.
I feel like once you have two dogs conjoined, anything goes at that point in terms of looking silly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to imagine what ideas didn't make it into a game that has you playing as two dogs joined by their stomachs. Like, what was deemed that's too silly? We can't have that in this game.
I don't think it was much what's too silly. It's like, is it silly enough?
The boring stuff didn't get in.
Yeah.
It wasn't silly enough.
Yeah, my elaborate gramophone puzzle. That was...
It was so hard.
So how do you guys go into making it? That's a good segue into the actual puzzle parts of the game. Because I feel when I'm playing it, you guys were sitting in a room thinking they're not annoyed enough. Make it more difficult. Make it more, make them be more engaged. Make them talk and yell at each other. We want more of that in this puzzle. What's that process like for you guys?
And I think a lot of it was kind of based off the fact that we were all working on our own individual parts. We were always wanting to like surprise each other and come up with something interesting that would go, oh wow, you did that, that's cool. And like, and in part of it as well is that like we just kind of knew early on that we wanted to map out a kind of like, okay, this is the thing that we're introducing, this is the mechanic that we're going to introduce, and this is like how we layer on other stuff on top of that to just try and make that a progressive puzzle. I don't think we tried to approach it from that very kind of like slow gradient of adding stuff on.
Like, I think a lot of that is, like you said, because we were like during the design stage, we'd basically like start the day, have a chat about something, and then go away to our computers, work away on some kind of level or some puzzles, and then come back and get the other two, like whoever had didn't work on it, the other two to play it. And the more, like you say, like we were quite often just aiming to be like, how can I stump these people who already know the mechanics and already know like this thing? So there's a lot of like putting twists on the same mechanic or like just adding something weird into the mix that would.
I like that. I imagine you guys being like, how can I totally fuck over Douglas this week? This would really piss him off.
Basically anything that forced that, like you say, like people to talk to each other, like you have to say what you're doing. You have to keep...
Say, yell, other. Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, you have to, yeah, you have to update each other on your own thoughts so that you're thinking as one. I love that part of it.
I think the number of times we would have to like encourage each other, you need to talk. Like we were the developers, like we knew what we wanted people to do, but we got used to playing the game, and so there were definitely sessions where we'd be like testing each other's stuff in complete silence, and then we'd be like, you're not gonna solve this unless you talk to each other. Just like continually falling off the cliff over and over again.
Yeah.
Is there anything sadder than playing this game by yourself, I'm wondering? Because I get a sense that this has to be enjoyed by two people to really understand what you were trying to create here. Because I tried playing it solo. It's fun solo. It's watching my thumbs argue with each other, like trying to know what to do. Like, you're not doing that right.
I think that was kind of the thought behind it, was that we'd kind of design it as a... almost like co-op first, but we always wanted it to be playable by one person. So like, and have that kind of, it was like a different kind of challenge. It was where you had to like get your thumbs to cooperate rather than get you to cooperate with another person. Like it's just a completely different challenge. So I think it does give like a different twist on the way to play the game.
And then, you know, you're making the game yourselves, designing puzzles, trying to mess with each other, and then that's all nice and fun, but when you take the thing actually to a convention or to a show, it's a whole different dynamic. Like, what's that like, seeing people actually respond? And I would imagine when I first played this game, just you're grinning from ear to ear as you're watching these dogs like try to solve these outrageous puzzles.
It's the best bit.
Like, oh my god, we have a really good idea here. Like, we struck gold, kind of.
I think that it was a really important part of the early process that we had. Like, we spent quite a long time getting our like first demo together to like show to people, that so that we could like kind of see people progress through the game and like and see if they understood it. And it was just such a like, it was always such a rewarding experience to like, you know, we would watch someone play through it. And then for like the next event that we knew we were going to, we were like, okay, well, we can add this bit or we can tweak this bit. And then like watching people again and seeing them like, oh yeah, this totally fixes it. Like this makes it so much better. And it was just like such a great experience. I mean, like I remember originally creating Sleep World was just sort of like a couple of weeks before an event that we were going to, we were like, we could just prototype the first bit of Sleep World, let's just do it. And then we just did it and it like somehow came together, and getting to see people play that for the first time was such a good experience.
I mean, I literally remember watching, like being at one, like I think it was Insomnia, one of the events, and James, you were like sat basically like under our booth desk like patch, like bug fixing something that someone had just encountered like live so that we could quickly replace the build. Like just like, yeah, if you don't have a dedicated QA team as a small studio, there's not much better QA than taking it to an event and putting it in front of people.
I think something we always came back to after the first event was that it isn't just a game for like people like us who play games and enjoy games. It's a game for a kid and their dad, or for like two older people who have never played games before. And for us, that was such an exciting thing, was like to see the people in our lives who don't usually play games get excited, and to see all of these new like co-op partners who wouldn't usually play a game together really enjoying it and being able to play it with a, like feeling. I think the the challenge of the game is more about the communication. Mm-hmm. The movement of the dogs is fairly easy for people to pick up, and so that was so great to like see in action, and it was always so motivating to know that we were creating something for a different audience, kind of.
Yeah, and then this kind of game, it rewards you with those little aha moments when you know what you have to do to solve a little segment. And once you actually pull it off with someone, like if you understand how the dogs function and how they stretch and move and how physics work in reality, those bits for me is what makes it so great, because it's the game is saying, hey, you're not a complete dumbass. You figured this out all by yourself. Good for you. We'll give you a treat.
I think we did try to keep as many of the puzzles as possible, like just logic, like, oh, you water a plant, it grows something. Like, and I think that, like, one of the favorite things about early events, showing early events, was that like kids just get that stuff straight away because they're like, yeah, water grows plants, come on, dad. Like, whereas I think people who have a bit more experience with games or a bit older are like trying to outthink it, and like, whereas kids just go straight for the like real life solution, which we always tried to have like stuff like that in the game that,
even though it's
kind of like guide you to, yeah,
definitely not a real life solution.
The real life solution, yeah, I always burn some plants to get to work.
Sure, yeah, that's what we all do in our day to day lives. I mean, at least for me. The game also looks gorgeous too, which helps a lot. When I was first playing it, I felt like, man, these guys could like do like a 3D platformer game at some point. Like, you're almost at that point. I feel like, all right, this is a good ground level, a good ground foundation for like an engine and assets, but you guys could do like a Mario 64 type thing at some point, I feel, down the line, with how good this stuff looks. Like, seriously.
I mean, that's amazing. Thank you. And yeah, Doug is just very good at like creating these like really nice looking but like simple assets. Like, I think that was like a big like appeal to like making the world like silly, was like just how much we were able to kind of get across this cartoony vibe with the sort of the graphics work and stuff that we did for it.
Just beyond just the colors.
Yeah, it's like you don't know what colors actually look like until you see them in this game. That's what it feels like.
Wow, that's green.
I think it's worth mentioning as well, Cutsync as the publisher and co-developer did so much great work kind of alongside Doug on a lot of the decorations and some of the other characters in the game.
Just so much of the actual what you see assets is like awesome team at Cutsync helping out with their artists and a bunch of the animators who, like, yeah, I didn't have time to do as much as there is in the game. So
yeah,
it's so good having that help. And
so that's actually a good segue. You know, you guys had, you know, formed your team, working on your game, got your Dare Academy Award, that's all nice and dandy. And then you're at EGX, and then Cutsync is like, you want to publish your game. How was that experience? How did that conversation come about for you guys?
The whole thing has just been surreal, to be honest. I mean, like, they approached us and you know, said like, we would like to publish Fogs. And then we kind of went through
basically this. like unsure. I think at first we were like, no, this isn't real. I don't know about these guys. Like, they want to co-develop our game, and like just the deal was all like, yeah, this isn't real. Let's like, we weren't even sure if we should.
Just like take it
seriously. Yeah, basically, like, if we should take it seriously at first, and then eventually, like, after talking to more, like, oh, they're actually serious, like, they actually want to do this. Like, so yeah, it was mental.
Because I feel like for a small team, you guys are very protective of your IP, and your idea. It's like, well, this is our thing. Now these other guys are gonna come in and kind of like look at it and poke around and do things, and we'll take your money. But
yeah, I think it was something we learned quite early on, was that they cared about the project, and for them it was about seeing our vision for Fogs be realized at a quality bar that would like reach as many people as possible, because for three people to like make something that's really representative of what they want it to be is tricky. And it took a while, but you know, none of us would have guessed this is how great the game would be by the end. That's so much of what they took a risk on us, was that they believed we could make something at this quality and with the kind of charm. And I think it was just so motivating that they were excited about the game in the same way that we were.
We didn't even believe that, so I don't know why they did.
It's like, I'm glad someone has faith in this idea. <don't>.
Okay, I guess.
Like, it's just all built on a house of cards, guys. Just cash and run. So what's next for you guys? I mean, the game is out there. It's gotten great reception I've seen so far on Steam and other outlets. People are loving it, as they well should. Are you guys more like, all right, the game is out, let's take a little bit of a break? Are there other ideas? Are you just going to support this game just for like the short term? What's that conversation like among the three of you?
I mean, it's a bit of all of the above, to be honest. I think we're, you know, we've been trying to take it easy. Like, we, you know, we worked pretty hard on Fogs, and it was nice to kind of just sort of spin down on that a bit, and you know, let ourselves like kind of just let our brains take a break. I think that was like the important thing, because like it was just like, yeah, we had to, when it was like on our brains like the whole time, we were like, okay, well, we need a bit of like slow time, but like we're starting to think about like sort of what's next for us. And you know, coming into this new year, it's been exciting to think about what is next for us, but yeah, we're still kind of figuring that out, I think.
But yeah, we got together to make silly weird stuff together, so we're definitely, I think, all excited to see what the next silly weird thing is.
Have you guys thought about potentially working on the next Nintendogs game?
Oh my god.
Listen. It's been over a decade since we got one of those.
It was been a while.
Now's like,
have you got any context for us?
Well, that was like the 10 Dogs and Cats. It was like a sequel, I think, that was on the DS or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's been too long. I feel you guys could reach out and be like, hey Nintendo, you know, you're doing Breath of the Wild 2 and some Metroid Prime 4. Why don't we
get
this franchise? Yeah, exactly. Like, listen, let us take care of it. We know dogs. We're dog lovers.
Yeah. Hear us out. Nintendo Fox.
No, it just writes itself.
Exactly.
Nintendo DS only, not 3DS. DS. We're not retro. Retro.
You know, recently they just delisted a bunch of games for the DSi, that you can say, we released it, but it was delisted. So you missed your chance to get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is exciting now when we look on the like store to see Fogs pop up and just think of it as like, is this real thing that's going to exist now for however long? Anyone can kind of download it and play it whenever they want. And reaching that point, I think we just want to do more of that. Like, we want to release things. And it took a while to release Fogs, so I think we definitely like to try and do something a little bit smaller that is a little bit more doable.
Yeah,
it was a big debut title.
Yeah, you know, and unless you guys are involved in some sort of scandal, this is your legacy now. For the time being,
it's true.
About two conjoined dogs.
Yes. It'll be on my gravestone.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll join the dogs.
That's pretty amazing. what have your classmates said about this whole thing? Like, you guys have, you know, you guys are making this thing while you were in school together, and you found the publisher, and now you've released your first game.
I mean,
sorry, you go, Doug.
I was going to say, a lot of people are, like, in other studios or, like, you know, like, working at Rockstar and stuff. Mm. So, yeah, I don't think there's...
Rockstar, who are they? What do they do? They make cowboy games.
But yeah, there's been like a bunch of really like lovely support from people just saying congrats and stuff. So it definitely feels like...
Right, but the thing is, you could work at Rockstar and be one of like 1,000 people, a nobody. But I know Henry, James, and Douglas from Loom Games. Like, it's just three names. It's not hard to remember.
Yeah.
I definitely love the having the smaller team where we just, that's like my jam for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it suited us perfectly to be able to just be, hey, here's the three of us, and we can all like get our flavor on each part of the game. Like that is like pretty great. I think, yeah, it has been nice as well to just see like all these people like that we, you know, knew from school and stuff, like coming out to say, hey, congrats on your game coming out, and like just kind of remembering all the like the people that we met like along the way. Like, it was just like everyone, because we just like, it was such a whirlwind experience all around that we like, you know, we met so many people as part of this journey that like then just at the end, like sort of one by one, they would just kind of come out and go like, hey, congrats, you did it. Like, that was like, yeah, such a like surreal experience to just kind of see it all wrapped up like that in that way.
Thanks. Did you buy it yet? That's how you can thank me. That's how you can show your appreciation. Just, here's the Steam link. It's going. Yeah. Do that. What sort of discoveries did you guys make about yourselves and your friendship along the way during the course of development? Anything that you were like, God, why do I work with this guy?
I think it was more like, oh, that's why I work with this guy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The discoveries were like, wow, these guys are ridiculously talented and I'm crazy.
Yeah. I think we've said so many times that it's just, we're so fortunate and lucky that the three of us kind of came together and that we are able to collaborate on the design in a way where it's enjoyable and it never feels like we're fighting over things or we're trying to like have our own way. Every tiny part of the game that you see is a compromise between all of our vision. Like we all have like a little bit of us in Fogs. And I think the fact that it panned out like that, that none of us is the boss of the game. Yeah, I think that's just amazing and rare, and we're so happy that we get to work together.
Yeah, like I think we always hear like, oh, you know, don't go into business with your friends, it'll just end in disaster. And we're like, well, that advice doesn't apply to us, because this has worked out fantastically. We're like all close.
I guess we haven't we haven't had the anime betrayal yet. That comes when all the
Yeah, that's it. Someone's gonna get a backstab soon.
I was waiting for like Douglas to be like, oh, I thought I was the boss. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I mean, Henry is the boss, we know that, but
well, yeah, I won the Mario Kart tournament, so
yeah, we don't talk
about it. Does him not biased at all in the fact that
that's like, that's like worse than the gladiator like arena. It's like, no, we're gonna play Mario Kart to decide who rules us all.
Yep,
he's easily the best. Like, I've watched him speedrun Mario Kart.
It wasn't a fair, it was rigged.
Yeah, I know. And now that I'm in charge, I can keep it rigged in my favor.
Just like the real world.
Oh, God.
What is the Mario Kart game of choice?
I'm Mario Kart 8, definitely. I think that was just I liked Mario Kart before, but then I don't know when 8 came out, I was one of the only people that had a Wii U, so
in the world.
Yeah. One of like five, so you know.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Me too. I had it because I was buying
Mario Kart 64 balloon battle on Lava Donut.
Oh my god.
No, just specific. Play it for hours. That's all I would play. Yeah, just go round and round the donut. That's it. Done.
Nightmare.
All right. So we've learned a lot about the game, how it came to be. And now it's time, I think, for my favorite segment of all on this podcast, Rapid Fire, where we can learn more about you guys as human beings. I've learned a lot already in this last like exchange, but now we're gonna dive deep into the real dirt of it all. All right, so
this is where the scandals come.
I think we can go like, you can each answer the question as we go along. We can do like a James, Henry, Douglas, and then that sort of like order.
I'm ready.
And all right, the first question we always ask on the show is, pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, as much as you can get, really.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Absolutely yes from me.
Wow, it's a resounding three yeses. Okay.
No. The fact that they're, I mean, it's hilarious that the first question is relevant to folks because you can fire pineapples onto the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spoiler. Game's out. It doesn't matter. I was outvoted in letting that go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Flight. I regularly dream about. It's the oldest dream I can remember is being able to jump really far, just far enough that it feels like flying. Mm-hmm. And then you come back down and you're like, shit, I can't fly. Every time.
Yeah, I think I would say flight as well. I would rather get places than sneak around, I guess. It's
yeah, I'd probably agree, given how much I'm loving my glider in Minecraft.
All right, let's see. Here's a fun one. Would you rather eat a sandwich that is made of ingredients chosen at random in your refrigerator right now, or would you have two of your teammates here make the sandwich for you out of four ingredients that are in your refrigerator right now?
Yes. Let Henry and Doug make me a James sandwich. You'd be surprised what I would eat.
Whatever we make, he'll eat. And we couldn't quite get him.
Yeah.
If anything, just making a normal sandwich would probably be the biggest twist on
James. I'll know if they're good if they use one of their four ingredients to butter the bread. Yeah, then it would be worthwhile.
I don't know how I would answer this because I know that the other two are just monsters when it comes to sandwiches. Put anything. I think like for me this is like they're it's six a and a half lose. A dozen. It's just you know like you I like it's I mean, four it random ingredients whether or not
yeah.
it's four things from my fridge or these two choose four things from my fridge. So
Henry's whole fridge is just filled with mushrooms right now.
No, it's not.
It's just cheese.
I do have a big box of cheese in the fridge at the moment.
Whatever it is, lovely. It's more cheese. Yeah, you guys can make it. I'm sure it'll be
fine. I'd make you a classic block of cheese sandwich.
Where incredible. The bread is two cheese. Yeah, I'd like to see what James and Henry come up with.
All right. Now, this is a very important question. When you're putting on your socks and your shoes for the day, is it socks, shoe, or is it sock, shoe?
Uh, It socks suck because I usually put my socks on and then right. I've not left the house in several sure. weeks.
And you're not psychotic.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are shoes? I haven't put shoes on in yeah. so long.
Yeah, at this point, if I am putting shoes on, then something has gone wrong with my day.
If I am putting socks and shoes on at the same time, then I would do sock, right. shoe, sock, shoe.
What? No, wait.
Are you a pod person? Are you a sociopath?
You got a full shoe and a bare foot.
Yeah. Doesn't that feel weird?
That's horrendous.
No, actually, in the past, I kid you not, I will have put sock and shoe on, and then I'll be like, this feels so weird. I'm just going to walk around like this. And I will literally just walk around like that.
You guys should rethink your relationship at this point.
And then
we are, yeah.
I've been outside in this situation hopping around and then had to ask someone to pass my sock
like,
so that I can put the other shoe on.
We are constantly having to reevaluate our relationship to James with this person. Yeah. He is a very challenging person. Mm-hmm. Like almost every other day we hear something like this.
Yeah. It's worth it though.
Yeah,
I'm getting that sense. what word best describes you when you're drunk?
I don't know. I feel like we have to do this for each other, probably.
all right, so let's see. Yeah, describe each other.
Henry is punny.
Okay, well, I love it.
That's not even drunk. That's just always
extra. But it's like
he goes from every other.
He'll be very quiet until he thinks of a pun, and then he'll speak.
Yeah, yeah. I think. Yeah, when I get drunk, the pun filter just comes away, and I don't care how bad it is. It'll
see if it's removed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've seen you two drunk that often.
How is that possible? I find that very hard to believe.
I definitely have seen Doug drunk. Not screaming, but like he celebrates. If you've seen his laughter now, when he's drunk, his celebration goes up. A notch. It gets pretty intense.
I was assuming my word was going to be loud.
You're quite dancey when you're drunk. I think you dance a lot when you get drunk. Yes.
Dancey. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, my secret is I'm always weirder. Drunk. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good secret. So what's James like why when he's sober?
Yeah. That's the reason why he would even think to put sock shoe
right. See, now it's all making sense to me.
It's all coming together.
Fucking psychotics, serial killer I'm talking to you right now. What is the largest animal you could knock out with one punch?
Is this a us personally or just
no yeah you one? Personally, yeah, like knowing your body, knowing the force or not so much behind your punches, what could you knock out? Confidently.
Maybe a mouse, I think, is about my limit.
So it wouldn't die, it would just be knocked out.
Yeah. I'm not a powerful person.
I've never knocked out an animal. So.
I've knocked out a kid with my foot when I was younger.
Was there a sock or a shoe on this foot?
Well, I was trying to prove that I had a really high karate kick.
Mm.
I didn't have a high karate kick. And
but you were trying to kick over this kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like, what your attorney said during the trial?
Yeah.
No, that's what I had to explain to their parent directly after. Mind you, I was 10 years old, so that's the last time I hit something like living.
So a small
I've avoided child. It since then.
Yeah. I don't think I could confidently say anything.
Mm. Interesting. All right. Is cereal a soup?
No.
Not when Doug has it with no milk on it.
Yeah, no, cereal's a snack that you eat out of the bag. It's like crisps. Chips.
Yeah, I mean, my cereal is usually left for about half an hour before I eat it, so it's definitely at the stage where it's...
Can I leave this call?
I always forget about it, and then I come back, and it's
that's not cereal anymore. That's just mulch.
It's soup. Yeah,
you're just
yeah.
eating mulch.
Yeah.
And I like the middle of these two. Mm-hmm. Doug likes all crunch. Jamie likes all mush. Mm-hmm. I like the in-between stage.
You're like just the balance of all things. Yeah. This is why you guys are good as a team. You have
yeah. some genuinely.
You have the extremes and then the pure balance.
Henry is always the mediator. If Henry wasn't in the team, Fogs would have been a disaster. Yeah. Like extremes everywhere.
What is the best co-op game? I know it's a heavy question, a lot to consider.
I mean, when you discount Fogs, it gets a bit.
Oh yes, no, of course. You know, then it'd be an easy answer, of course.
I really love Mario 3D World, but I recently played Sackboy's Big Adventure, and I'd actually say that it takes a lot of what Mario 3D World did and does it better. So, I'd say Sackboy's Big Adventure.
All right. Okay.
I think like this is maybe an odd answer to this question, but I think the game that I've had the best like co-op experience playing was Resident Evil, the first game. And that wasn't because like we were playing it co-op. It was just like as a communal experience. Mm. That was really like, yeah. So like it was cooperative in the way that we were trying to figure out how to solve the puzzles mm-hmm. and like solving
taking turns.
And yeah, taking turns.
Yeah, when one of us got too scared.
Who draw the short straw to hold the
controller. It was me. It was me.
See, now I did that with Shadow of the Colossus, my brother. We each took a Colossus to fight. We just swapped controllers.
Yeah,
so we made it a co-op game.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's
supposed to be a co-op game. So, all right, I'll allow that answer. Good answer. And Douglas, what would yours be?
I mean,
he would say LOL, but it doesn't play cooperatively.
No, I haven't. That's not in my head. That's not a co-op game. I remember having a bunch of fun playing like the old Trine with my brother and my sister. The three of us like played through that and played through Trine 2. That was like really, really good. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not as big on consoles, so I don't have all the range of these guys.
Yeah.
Why are dogs the best?
Because they're always excited. Everything is good.
Yeah. I think that's
joy.
They evolved from one of the only predators that could stand against us, so I think we have a certain respect for them.
What, lions don't count?
But lions are still lions.
Right.
Like, name another predator that you can get a cute version of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean,
that you could train to be loyal to you unconditionally.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's the right. unconditional love and joy.
Right.
But not fully unconditional. You do still have to be nice to them.
Well, yeah.
Well, even if you're not, they forget about it instantly. I'm not condoning abusing your pets, people.
Yeah, don't do that.
How the dog brain works.
Let's not test that.
No. I actually think people who hit their animals deserve worse than those who kill other people. That's just how I feel about certain things.
Yeah.
Extreme.
What video game dog would you want to see go on an adventure with Red and Blue? If you could pick any game dog to do a collaboration with, like it was a DLC thing, it's Red and Blue and blank dog do a thing. What would that dog be?
I wonder.
I mean, Sonic is a hedgehog, which isn't quite a dog.
No, that's not a dog.
Listen, we're playing fast and loose now. If it rhymes with fog, it doesn't count.
I'd be interested to see what the dog from the dog ending of Silent Hill 2 and
I love you.
Oh my god, the Shiba.
You are my favorite guest ever now. Because I'm always trying to find a reason to talk about Silent Hill. It just came out of nowhere. So yeah. I didn't think about that answer.
You just spoiled the dog ending for everyone.
It's like a spoiler cast. We're spoiling puzzles, we're spoiling pineapple and pizza.
Like I said, we're playing fast and loose.
We are, really are. All right, so that's one answer. What about the other two? Come on, there's plenty of dogs out there you can pick from.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think
you're gonna come out with another not a dog, aren't you?
I mean, I'm gonna be hated forever and not hate myself for saying this, but
love it.
Cat dog from the cat dog spin-off game, tie-in game.
Wow. You did a license.
Why did you say that?
I think, I don't know, I just feel like that would be a crazy thing to happen.
Right, because they understand each other's plight. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the same boat, kind of. Let's go on a wacky adventure together.
And I guess I can imagine that. I find it so hard to imagine an actual dog next to the fog.
Like, yeah, I mean,
it just doesn't work in my head. It just doesn't work.
Well, there's no butthole to sniff, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
You know, that goes back it to definitely the would question.
Make people realize like how far we like stretched the like concept of dog to create the fogs.
I'm gonna go Sif from Dark Souls.
Ooh,
I wanna see.
See, that just like thought you couldn't talk that sound hell answer.
That is a that is, big dog.
That is, and there's lore there, which is also good.
Yeah. That's a great epic quest. The folks
that's a great choice
with a giant sword dog.
All right, and let's wrap this up on a nice question I like to end things with sometimes on the show, is for each of you to give us a non-inspirational quote. So if you're looking to demoralize someone and to instill them with there's no hope in life, like what would be a nice quote you can say to them just to let them know that things aren't going to get better? And they
should literally
try.
Never thought about this.
Yeah, all this is success. The trickiest question so far.
Mm-hmm, all mm-hmm. success is based on luck, and no amount of trying hard will get you any closer to your dreams.
That's it.
I hope you don't tell yourself that, Doug.
I mean, I 100% know that like a lot of doing well is just luck, like happening to meet the right people and stuff. Like, I know that obviously is the hyperest cynical version of that. Obviously, there's a lot of doing your own work and stuff.
Of course, it's part of it.
It's not.
I guess I would say every second you spend listening to me say this, you're losing a second of your life.
That's also good.
I mean, you could flip YOLO on its head. Like, you only live once, so you know,
don't bother.
Don't do anything because you've got one shot.
You don't mess it up.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to adopt James's quote for this show's new tagline. Every second you waste listening to this show. All right. And that's going to bring us to the end. You guys have been fantastic, incredible. Where can we find Fogs? Give us all the pitch, all the platforms, all the Twitters, the socials. Give us all that stuff before we...
Yeah, we're Play Fogs on everything. That's PHOGS. And you can find it on playfogs.com, where there are links to get it on Switch, Steam, Stadia, PlayStation, and Xbox. And for the next year, it's on Xbox Game Pass. So Yeah, and we really hope you enjoy the game. It's a lot of fun, and we just want to surprise and delight people with wacky worlds and creatures. So if you enjoy that, it's right up your alley.
All right, and that's going to bring us to the end. Guys, thank you so much. This was a blast. The game is incredible.
Thank you for having us.
We'll be
us.
In touch. This is always a thing, like, to bring on guests more than once. You guys have proven yourselves. You're now part of the cool crew. we'll keep an eye out for all your future endeavors, and we will make the Nintendo Fogs game happen.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
Personally petitioning.
All right. And until next time, listeners, I'm gonna steal Steven's tagline here. Be excellent to each other.